to the R&R Show with Sam and Jacob from First Baptist Church of Sanford. We're here to give you a ready response as we apply God's Word to some of life's questions.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, we're going to talk about appropriate and inappropriate reasons to leave a church. So we are going to talk more about when it would be okay if you're a member of a church to leave that particular church. When would it not be okay? Appropriate and inappropriate reasons. Jake, let me hear from you.
I don't know. The reason I started thinking about this today is, whenever we talked about this way ahead of time, not today. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
20 minutes ago.
Yeah, 20 minutes ago when we picked the topic. No, I just got to thinking, anyone who's worked at a church for any period of time, and Sam, you can back me up on this, at some point I expect you to. We're supposed to be wingmen here. Mm-hmm. If you've worked at a church as a minister, at some point you have had somebody come up to you and say, I'm thinking about leaving the church. You know, and it's always really interesting the reasons that they give. You know, sometimes they have a really well thought out good reason, but the vast majority of the time, it's not good reasons. They're not valid reasons for leaving a church. And so typically, you know, whenever someone does that, if you've ever seen the movie Tombstone, you know, I'm like Curly Bill, I'm just thinking
Sam Elliott.
Bye. Yeah. Yeah. So. Anyway, that's what got me thinking about the topic today. So let's get into this, Sam.
Okay. So, Jacob, let me just say that, like you, I've had people come to me over the years, and they've given me reasons as to why they feel they need to leave the church where I'm the pastor. And like you, I appreciate that, some of the reasons. But also, I appreciate just the fact when people come and talk to me before making the decision.
Yeah, let me know that you're breaking up with me.
Because if it's something that I can try to fix, if there's something that we can talk about to try to rectify the situation, then that's what we want to do. But there are times when people come and it seems that their mind is made up. Let's talk about some of those reasons, Jacob, that we feel would be an appropriate reason for a Christian who is a member of a particular church. They've made that commitment of membership to membership for them to actually make the decision to leave that church.
And just let's take a pause for 1 second. One thing we need to make clear before we get into this is when we say leave the church, we mean you're going to stop going to church A and find another church.
Right.
We're just assuming that you understand that God is calling you to be a member at a local congregation where you can worship and serve God. So when we say leave a church, we don't mean leave the church.
No.
We just mean leave the church that you're going to.
Leave the church that you've been a member, and then immediately start praying. If you haven't already done this, pray where ask God to show you what church would he have you to commit to membership at, and look for that and seek that out.
So first, let's go through some valid reasons that you should leave a church. Let me read to you Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. And so, to me, the most important, you know, reason or the easiest decision to leave is over false teaching. If you are going to a church that has false teaching, that is not accurately teaching the gospel, the doctrines of, you know, God and salvation and things like that, that is a deal breaker. Would you agree, Sam?
There are some tier one doctrines that must be taught correctly from the pulpit. And this is a good one to start off with, because think about what Paul is addressing in the letter to the Galatians. He's dealing with a situation where these Judaizers have come in and they are preaching something other than the gospel of grace, that there is a way for us to be made right with God through our own effort, through our own works. And that is completely contrary to the gospel.
Right.
And so if you're at a church, I mean, this, and this is, like you said, this is so clear cut. If they're preaching that salvation is not by grace, but by works, if they're preaching that Christ was not fully, is not fully divine, if they're preaching that...
there's any other way to be in good standing with God or go to heaven.
Right, or they're preaching a you know, these are the tier one doctrines. They don't believe in the Trinity. He's not preaching that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jacob, I would say also, and I think this is a good place to talk about this, just insert this comment, even with this most serious of faults of a church, a preacher from the pulpit not preaching the true gospel, you should leave that church, but you should still take that step of going to that pastor privately and confronting him, asking him about this, and giving that pastor, I would say, an opportunity to repent of that or to see the error of his way and hopefully stop preaching the wrong gospel. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree, yep. And, you know, the reason that I would say that this is the most important reason is, you know, church is not meant to be a country club where you just go hang out with your friends. The reason that we gather is to worship, spread the gospel, you know, like Christ commanded us, and to teach and to be discipled. And all of the things that we're supposed to be doing at church cannot happen if there's false teaching. If your pastor is not really telling you the gospel, you can't share it.
Right. I mean, there are many things to like about the local church, and there's nothing wrong. Let me just take, for example, friendships that we make in our small groups in our Sunday school class. That's a wonderful blessing of the church. But if the gospel is not being preached, then basically that is it's not really even a church, because this is what God said describes my church. And this is what he says we must do in order to glorify him. Most clearly, it's just central to everything we do at the church. So,
and the other thing is this: you might think, well, you know, I don't know, I'm not in love with all the theology at this church or this or that, but it's not hurting me. Well, I would say that it is, because if you're listening to false teaching that goes against Scripture, if you have kids, your kids are hearing that. That's going to influence them, and you know. If you hear garbage long enough, you're going to start to believe it. You don't need to listen to bad, terrible theology, because it will affect you and your family.
It's one of the key topics of the New Testament. The New Testament epistles are constantly dealing with false teaching and how serious it is. And so we're not just a couple of guys that, you know, just we're kind of out there on the outliers. We love theology, but we're different than most of those ministers out there. At least if we are different, I'll be different in that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
But it is important. It is vital. And I'm glad, Jacob, that we started with this reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very serious, because we're talking about this is heaven or hell here. You know, false teaching does not lead people to salvation.
And if the pastor is up there preaching the gospel, a false gospel, I mean, everything's kind of starts there. I'm not trying to elevate the pastor higher than he needs to be, but that is the time that the church comes together in order to be fed. It's the time that the church comes together to corporately worship God and to be fed the Word of God. And if you're not hearing the true gospel, you're hearing a false gospel from the pastor, from the pulpit, and he's not willing to change that, you do need to find another church.
So let me ask you this, Sam. Let's say that I'm a relatively new Christian and I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. And I asked you, okay, Pastor Sam, what theological issues are important enough that I should leave a church? You have any ideas? Are there any rules of thumb?
Well, I gave you a couple earlier talking about the Trinity.
Yeah. Well, how about this? Let's look back at the passage of scripture that we read in Galatians chapter 1. What Paul is really fussing about here, let me read it again. It says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." And he mentions turning to a different gospel or people distorting the gospel. He talks about the gospel and Christ a lot. So if I was just going to give kind of like a short answer, I would say, are they accurately teaching on Jesus Christ and the gospel? That would be kind of like the starting point for me, because if you can't get Jesus right, nothing else is going to be accurate. Mm-hmm. And if they can't get the gospel right,
yeah,
it's pointless. Nothing else is going to matter. Now, there's other issues that you might, you know, have a problem with, but that's kind of the starting point, right?
That is the starting point. Let me also just add this, Jacob. Getting the gospel right from the pulpit means that you're actually proclaiming the gospel. I think there are two main problem areas here. There's one, the problem that you have in this passage in the book of Galatians, where there's a false gospel that's being preached. But there are pulpits today where the pastor just does not preach the gospel. You just will not hear the gospel addressed. And if that's happening, where you never hear it from the gospel, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I actually remember one time hearing a church member somewhere say, "Okay, I'm saved. I'm tired of hearing the gospel on Sunday morning." And had to be like, "Whoa, okay, is it all about you?
And is it just once we hear the gospel and we're converted that we just put the gospel on the shelf? It's not relevant to our lives as Christians?"
No, I think we're supposed to re-examine it on a regular basis and apply it to our life, I think. So anyway, so let's move on. Right. You want to look at the next one there, Sam?
Okay, so this would be an appropriate reason to leave a local church, a particular local church, if the church tolerates false teaching from those who teach. Okay, so this is a little bit different. Here's Romans 16:17. "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." Now, this is something, Jacob, we're giving a second reason that's appropriate, and this deals with teaching not just from the pulpit, but from maybe small group classes, Sunday school classes, other places in the life of the church where there is false teaching.
Right, because, you know, okay, let's look. Most people are going to hear you on Sam preach for 35 minutes on Sunday morning, probably, right?
Right.
So the sermon is incredibly important, yeah. But that's not the only place that people are being taught theology. They're hearing it, like you said, in Sunday school for probably, I would say 45 minutes, but let's be real, everybody's just drinking coffee and talking for the first 10. So we'll say 30, 35 minutes. If they're involved in a small group, yeah. If your kids go to youth group, if your children go to children's activities, there's a lot of other places that your family may be hearing theology on a regular basis, and it matters. You don't want your family, especially your children, exposed to bad theology, right?
Right. And, you know, again, I just think it bears mentioning that we don't want to intimidate people from stepping up and teaching a class and feeling like, well, I'm not qualified, I haven't been to seminary. But if somebody teaches something that's just flat out contrary to the gospel, and you're hearing this in a Sunday school class, pray about and look for a way to talk with this person privately and you know, instruct them gently about the truth of the gospel. Tell them the concern that you have, something that they heard, that you heard taught. Ask questions. And you know, there's an opportunity for that to be remedied. But Jacob, we're talking about the situation where, no, this is just staying. There's no change. The false teaching continues in the Sunday school classes, in the youth room, in the small group home classes.
And I would say the issue that we're really talking about here is not even that there's a bad Sunday school teacher or a boring Sunday school teacher, or, you know, Sunday school teacher Jacob said something that was kind of questionable last Sunday. That's not what I'm talking about. The issue is, if we know that there is bad theology being taught in that whatever, small group, whatever, and rather than deal with it, the leadership decides, we're going to leave that alone.
Right.
That's what I'm really talking about.
And how would we know that the leadership is leaving it alone? Because as a church member, we would want to go to the leadership respectfully. Yeah. And say, look, I tried to, you know, one-on-one talk with this teacher, and it just didn't go anywhere. They wouldn't listen, and I want to be a solution. I don't want to create a problem, but this is so important. Will you please help get involved so we can correct this? And if they refuse,
adios.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a valid reason.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, we really just can't stress enough how important what a church is preaching and teaching is. Yeah, those are the two most valid reasons. What do we got next?
The church in general, and not a few difficult members, is marked by hypocrisy. I'm going to turn this one over to you.
All right, so let's read this passage of scripture here. I like how you're like, oh, hypocrisy. Turn this over to Jacob. You know, okay. All right, so 2 Timothy.
I want to make sure we get it right.
Well, speaking of hypocrisy, okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Here's what it says. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. And so in this passage of scripture, we had this long laundry list of sinful ways that people will act. But the point that I really want you, if you're looking in your Bible, to focus in on is in verse 5, where it says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. You know, one thing that all throughout Scripture, I think you'd agree with me, Sam, that God really detests is hypocrisy. And so when it says having the appearance of godliness, and you know, I'm picturing people who act very religious or put on a religious front, but it says denying its power. That makes me think of hypocrisy. What do you think?
I think, you know, Paul is talking here about the context of a church. I don't think he's saying, okay, don't go out with lost people and develop relationships and try to share the gospel. Avoid such people, shun such people. No, he's talking about those that are professing to be lovers of God, but in actuality, what they're teaching, what they're saying, how they're living is completely opposite of what the Bible tells us to do and what the Bible explains a believer should, their life should be characterized by. We're not talking about sinless perfection here too, Jacob. I think that's important to note.
I got a good story. Okay. I'll give you an example, I think. So at a previous church that I worked at, there was absolutely nothing in that town except on Friday night they had high school football, because you remember we used to do that on Friday nights. And so one of the deacons at that church would go to the football games and very often would show up just completely drunk. And he would show up drunk, and then he'd sit in the stands and just use all kinds of profanity at the kids playing football. I mean, it was embarrassing. And I would have kids in the youth group go, Mr. Jacob, Mr. So-and-so is a deacon at our church, and he acts like that on Friday night. And in their minds, they're going, I don't know if I want any part of this Christianity thing. I don't know if I want any part of a church where that's the leadership. And so that's why hypocrisy is so dangerous in a church.
Or they might be saying, hey, that's what being a Christian is all about. So I can...
Which is worse.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're saying that if you go to a church, everybody has to be perfect. No. Everyone is a sinner. But if the entire church is marked by hypocrisy, you know, just in general, it is, the church is full of all these things that the scriptures listed, and yet it you know, pretends to be something that it's not, that's a problem, right?
It reminds me of this joke this guy would tell. People would come to him. He was on staff at a church that Alicia and I attended when we were first married, and people would say, I'm not going to go down to the church. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. And he would tell them, well, come on down. There's always room for one more.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is true. If you have a situation and you're trying to sit, look, you're looking at a church that you're a member of, maybe things have changed over the years, and you're just looking, you're seeing that maybe the leadership has changed, and then the whole kind of nature of the church has changed to where, you know, your heart is troubled. It's like Paul walking around Athens and seeing all these idols, and you're looking at the church you're a part of, and you're hearing people profess certain things, but like the illustration that you gave, Jacob, from that past church you were a part of with the deacon, they are literally living double lives. I mean, they're acting like they are one way on Sunday morning, but then through the rest of the week, they're living a different life, and that might be an indication that God has another local church for you to be a part of.
It might. And so, okay, so the three big reasons that we have said so far are appropriate reasons to leave a church were false teaching, what is being preached and taught. Number two was the church tolerates false teaching from those who teach. So not just is there bad theology, but are they okay with the teachers, you know, spewing bad theology? And then is there tons of hypocrisy at the church in general? Sam, did you have any other maybe lesser, not as, well, you know, deadly ones?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I've heard people tell me that, and I hear more about this in the context of people that have visited a church, and they will tell me, you know, I went there expecting such great things. No one came up and spoke with me. No one greeted us. And I was just thinking about, well, what if you were in a church where when you joined it, it had certain characteristics, and then over time it changed. And what about a church that is just cold? What about a church that becomes cold? There's just lack of warmth. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with the kiss of love. Well, in today's culture, our
handshake.
Culture. Yeah, right.
Oh, we don't even do that anymore. Yeah, it's true. Wave. We're going to wave
I think
at each
you
other.
Understand, right.
Yeah.
My point is that I think it is important to have a level of warmth, of, you know, wanting people to know that you care about them and expressing that. We don't want this to be an excuse, though, just because somebody may have had a bad day and didn't treat you the way you thought they should have when you arrived in the church parking lot. But it's very subjective, but I just think there are lesser reasons. Here, though, I think is another important aspect of a church that we need to look at in terms of whether God wants us to be a part of this church, and it is the commitment to evangelism and missions. If you are a member of a church that has, for some reason, become cold in the area of evangelism and missions, and you have tried to be an effective catalyst to get people engaged with sharing the gospel and being on mission, and you've prayed, and it's not being faithful. This church is not being faithful to the Great Commission, Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations. Jacob, I would say that after much prayer and discussion with leadership, that would be an appropriate reason to leave that particular church.
I have no desire to be a member of the Frozen Chosen.
There you go.
Yeah. So if they're not doing evangelism, I don't have any reason to be there.
Well, quickly, I know we don't have a lot of time. We've talked about some appropriate reasons to leave a particular church and find the church God would have us to join and serve in. But what about some, quickly, Jacob, what about some examples of foolish reasons to leave a church?
I have heard people say they were going to leave a church because they did not like how the pastor dressed. He didn't wear a tie one Sunday. He just wore a jacket that wasn't good enough. Or because there are people who go to the church who don't dress the way that person likes. I've heard that mentioned a couple of times, and I have always felt that was a really stupid reason to leave a church.
Seems superficial.
Yes.
Although there are some churches where it's biblical that the pastor wear a suit with a tie.
Did you say it's biblical? Is that what you said?
For some churches.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. One that I've heard, and it breaks my heart, a foolish reason to leave a church is the parents will tell me that their kids like another church better.
Oh, okay. So you're minor.
The kids have not been entertained at our church, and so they found one that will please their kids more. So the kids actually direct the mom and dad.
So the most important duty you have as a parent, the shepherding and teaching of your children, you're going to turn over to the 13-year-old? Right. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I've had discussions, not a lot, but I've had a few with parents about this. It hasn't always been with parents that have made the decision to leave the church that I was the pastor at, but just out in the community, people that I've known. And I've tried to just, you know, gently discuss with them, but very, you know, matter-of-factly, how it is right for them as the parents, biblically, to lead the family. You know, dad, you're the spiritual leader. Lead the family. Mom, you may be the spiritual leader in your family, but not the kids. You know, and
see, that's what I was trying to say, but I was more sarcastic.
I'm with you. I think we got that. What else, Jacob?
Let's see. We often hear people who will leave a church because of the music style.
Style of music.
Doesn't matter how many good things the church has to offer, how good the preaching or teaching is, but if the music is not their specific style, they're going to leave. And I have always felt like that was kind of a not a good enough reason to leave a church.
Well, I don't hear this reason a lot. I have heard it before. I have a feeling this is the actual reason that many people leave a church. And I think it's a foolish one. Someone has offended me personally.
Yeah, well, you know, and my response to that, because I've heard that before, is, you know, if you get a bunch of sinners, which we all are together,
what's going to happen?
Sooner or later, you're going to get your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame for you to let one misunderstanding or one conflict with one individual cheat you out of your home church or the other couple hundred people who go there who did not offend you. You know, maybe that's why Scripture talks so much about bearing with one another and being forgiving and showing grace. I don't know.
I think so. And so many of those offenses, like you said, it may have been something that wasn't intended or was a misunderstanding. I think so many times the way to handle that is just overlook an offense.
See, what I do in youth group is if I get two kids like that, I lock them in my office and won't let them leave until they hug. But you can't do that with adults.
No, no, no. And if, unfortunately, I think this is one of the main reasons people do leave. They get offended personally.
Yeah.
I don't know if we had to rank these foolish reasons or inappropriate reasons. I think style of music would be up there.
I think that the foolish reasons that people leave church really boil down to is there are different idols that people have within the church. And when those idols get messed with, whether it's the music or the way people dress or whatever,
right,
when those get messed with, then we kind of see what's really important to people. And it's not always what should be important.
Well, also, I think quickly we should touch on this. And we've mentioned this in previous shows about this consumer mentality that we bring to of the choice of where we're going to be a member of a church, mm-hmm, where we're going to stay. And today it's just a fact of life. In most towns, you have not just one Baptist church or two or three Methodist church. You have a multitude of churches to choose from, a new church that's popping up over here and there. So I think we need to be cognizant of that, that we are affected by this idea that we're consumers, and we take that to our church decisions many times, unfortunately.
Yep.
So I would say what you pointed out was that we need to look at what are the most important things about a church. What are those key areas?
The theology, what is being taught and preached and passed down to our families and our children. And whether that, you know, is being upheld and, you know, the different teaching areas. And, you know, is there a lot of hypocrisy? Those were the big three.
Right, right. And missions and evangelism.
Yes.
Are we actually living out,
yes,
the gospel as God would have us to do it? How we treat each other, show love to one another. That would not be hypocritical by being truly loving. And then sharing the gospel with unbelievers.
So listen, as we're wrapping up here, if you would like to hear some good theology and have some good teaching and we don't think there's a lot of hypocrisy, we would love to have you join us at First Baptist Church one Sunday.
That's right. You're going to get an invitation right when we're done with this show, but let's go ahead and give them one right now, live. 8:30, Jacob, they can bring their own lawn chair.
Bring a blanket, too.
Outdoor service. If it's below 40 degrees, we'll be in the gym. Plenty of area to space out, you know, be separate from one another as we're doing these days. So we have a safe environment, and yes, we are doing our best to live out the gospel as we preach it accurately.
We'll see you Sunday.
God bless.
We
want to thank you for listening to the R&R Show today. And look, if you don't have a church home currently, we'd like to invite you to visit us at the First Baptist Church of Sanford.
Yep, we're located at 202 Summit Drive here in Sanford, and we're currently having an outdoor service at 8:30. So bring your lawn chair and meet up with us in the morning.
We look forward to seeing you then.